that by all means, some may be saved. In this morning's epistle, Paul is talking about a strategy of evangelism. Going out to meet people where they are. To set aside what he knows about himself to become like them so that through him, the message of the gospel might be received. And some might be saved. To the Jew, I'm like a Jew. To those not under the law, I'm not under the law. To the weak, I am weak. So who changes in that picture? Paul. It's very interesting that in the course of our history of evangelism, that we seem to have turned that model upside down. Right? We go out to convert others. Who changes? They do. They become like us. Right? And we're standing right here in California where we know we're standing in the land that was evangelized. The story of Native American peoples being brought to Christ. And we know in that process that there have been abuses of human dignity. And so when we stand here in 2015 and look back on the history of evangelism in the Christian church, it's kind of hard to get excited about it, at least for me. This idea of going out to save others. You know, I was trained in anthropology. We respect culture. And so, it's this whole notion of being saved that I think I am in need of having it saved for me. I realized this the other day when I was zooming along on 580 in the darkness, going towards the Sierra foothills, and when you get out there around 205, it transitions, and it's kind of dark, and then the fog was rolling in, and all of a sudden in my head, you could see something kind of lit up, but I couldn't see quite what it was. It looked like maybe people with torches or flashlights or some kind of crowd thing, and then as you get closer and closer, you can sort of see it's like some sort of monument lit up, and gradually emerging out of the fog and the LED lights, it's Jesus saved. Jesus saves. And as an Episcopal priest, shouldn't I just be nodding vigorously? Yeah. Yeah. Jesus saves, right? That's just not what I feel. I end up feeling that whole kind of sighing desperation that the whole notion of salvation that's in our culture is so meager and thin and self-serving. I've accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm good. The most important thing that has to happen in my life has happened. I don't need to change. I'm good. I'm marked by God. I'm just waiting to be evacuated out of here. I mean, we laugh, but this is very common, this idea of saving souls. Right? The essential part of ourselves is some bit of something called a soul, which taken to its extreme. You remember the guy that was weighing people before they died and afterwards and came up with the soul weighs 21 grams? Right? Because it was missing, right? And so that soul disappeared. That soul leaves the body. That's what's really important about you. That soul. And that's going to float up and join all the other souls in a disembodied reality in heaven with God? I mean, we may not believe that precisely, but some version of that is all around us. I mean, when somebody dies, when grandma dies, where does she go? The truth is, that model of salvation has nothing to do with the story of Jesus and our own Christian faith. We're not waiting to be evacuated off this planet. And so I have felt like my understanding of salvation needs saving. I read a book recently, inspired by hope by N.T. Wright, he's a New Testament theologian, discusses a lot of these doctrines of heaven and resurrection and salvation and the mission of God. And I found a couple of helpful things in there that I think are important to remember, that actually when we do, we sort of can see more clearly what Paul's up to. He makes three basic points about salvation. One is God saves wholes, not souls. We are saved body and soul. We are meant to be bodies. We are created good. This is how it's supposed to be. We're not souls stuck in bodies, waiting to be liberated. We are human beings. God became a human being like us for that reason. This is how it's supposed to be. We are saved wholly. And as my friend Hal says, I don't know what I'd be without my body. You know, I've never been out of my body. We do the thought experiment where we kind of think, we can imagine what that would be like. But really, what would I be without my body? God saves wholes, not souls. And salvation is a present reality. It is not something we are waiting for. God's action in Jesus, his life, death, resurrection, was the beginning of that action, the beginning of salvation. And through the work of the Spirit in the community of God, it continues now and into the future. But it is a present reality. It is at work now. We are not waiting to be saved. Three, we are not the end of salvation. It's not for us. It comes through us. We become agents of salvation in the world so that God, acting through us, goes out and completes the work of salvation. We're moving towards the kingdom of God, a new heaven and a new earth where the law of God is like the sea itself spread out. Right? That's the vision. But the salvation of God is happening through us, not so much for us. We're not being invited into our own private gated community. Right? All creation will be saved. We all go together. And as Phil was highlighting last week in the letter to the Corinthians, it's about setting aside my liberties, my privileges, for the good of the whole. But I'm not naive about this. This is not easy stuff. I mean, it's not hard to understand, but it's not that easy to believe. And I feel a little bit like that father in Mark's gospel who has a son who has epilepsy, and he brings him to the apostles to have the demon cast out, and they can't do it. And Jesus comes along, and there's a great hubbub, and he turns to the father and says, "Do you have faith? Do you believe?" And he says back to him, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." I see a lot of people die. I work in a hospital. I'm with them when they're there, and then somehow they're not. And I don't know where they go. I don't know what happens. I know that our bodies decay and turn to dust and are scattered. And I know that's been happening for a long, long time. And I don't understand how it all gets put back together. And God knows it's not that easy to look into this world and think salvation is breaking out all around us. You know? Death and violence and human cruelty seems to be piped in on every way possible. You know, every day some latest triumph of human cruelty, frankly. And I don't see how I'm up to the task. You know, salvation is going to come through all of us. How are we all equipped to do this? But I think the epistle and the gospels show a kind of urgency of task that I think is part of this. You know, Paul is, I'm a slave to the gospel. He is going out. Paul is not waiting for it to come to him. If anything we know about Paul, he's on the road, he's getting it done. And Jesus, likewise, is saying, we need to go to the next village now. It's not enough to heal here, to cast out demons here. We need to spread the message. And it's urgent. And so I think it's really important, this idea of what our salvation is like, because we got to remember, salvation is here and it's always going to be here. It's not going to be anywhere else. We're not headed out. This place matters. The whole world matters. This is where our salvation will be, always. And so if we have this New Testament vision of our salvation, it changes the way we live. Because we're not waiting. So, I believe that we are saved whole body and soul. And I believe that salvation is a present reality. And I believe that salvation is happening through us for the sake of the whole world. Lord,